Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I want to flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, racing livestock, living free. It's a modern homestead. Build a modern homestead.
Hello and welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast. I'm your host, Harold Thornbro, and I'm joined today by William Horvath. And I'm glad to have you on today. So welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a lot of cool stuff going on. Your website is Permaculture Apprentice.
Yes.
And I've ran across it in the past a few times, just seeing articles and seeing some things and hearing about you. And then when I really started jumping into what you got going on, you got some pretty cool things going on. And today we're going to talk about kind of this farm management, homestead management, whether that be time or projects or whatever. But before we jump into all that, I kind of like to hear a little bit about your journey, kind of where you came from, how you got where you're at.
All right. So I'll try to keep this as short as possible, but for your audience, I assume they're mostly US based. I live in Croatia. I was born here and I spent most of my life here, except a small part of my life when I lived in Australia. So I grew up in Croatia during the war. I don't know if maybe some of your podcast listeners remember the Yugoslavian war. It was a civil war, so that was part of my childhood. And I grew up on a small farm, so we were, most of my childhood, we were self-reliant, you could say. We had a small farm and we were producing a lot of stuff for our own needs. And then during the war, that was even more pronounced, and we lived in a small village. And I would say that experience definitely profoundly shaped me to be the person that I am today. So
I would have to, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And when I grew up, I became a geologist. So, and my journey took me to Australia, where I worked as an exploration geologist, but I wasn't that keen on having a career in that occupation because it was essentially going against everything I was about. And I was about nature, I was about agriculture, I was so many things that, and I was in a job that was actually destroying nature, and they were planning to do big projects destroying native habitat. And as I was trying to see what other things I could do in my life, I don't know how, but permaculture somehow popped on my radar. And I went down that rabbit hole, and I would say that throughout that time, getting inspired and then thinking about what I could do, I realized that we have land back in Croatia, which is family owned, and not like you in the US, we don't have property taxes. So, you know, you can live off the land without that pressure of paying your tax. We have property taxes via other means. They're not called property taxes, but you still have to pay them. But it's much easier to get land. It's much easier once you have it to live off the land. So that was kind of my plan, to go back to Croatia to start my farm and do permaculture. And as I done that, I started my website to document my journey and to kind of scratch my own itch, in a sense of, I couldn't find a lot of information. A lot of information was, I would say, like TED level solution based, a lot of talking, but not enough practical information. So I came from that perspective, and today I'm even more into that practical side of the things with my website. So eventually, through some time, it evolved, and now as I have evolved as well, in the beginning, it was mostly, I would say, focused on farm income side of things. Now it's practical, and lately the time management, project management, because that's kind of the ultimate practical things that you have to do at day-to-day basis. So, and here I am today.
Sure. Yeah, sounds good. Just out of curiosity, I don't know a lot about Croatia. How's the growing conditions there? What's the land like? Is it a pretty good place to try to grow food, or do you have to do a lot? Has permaculture really been something you've needed to get it to grow?
Well, we have like three or four different type of climates. We have the coastal Mediterranean climate, you would say, that similar to California. Then we have the continental climate, similar to parts of Wisconsin and all those areas that are close to the Canadian boundary. And we have also some prairie type of climate as well. So it's a rather small country, but we have a diversity of climates. And I'm in the continental climate in the hills. I have basically two properties, one that I live on, which is a quarter of an acre urban type of property on the outskirts of a small town. And I have another one that's a family farm that I visit, commute to, and manage, which is 7 acres. And they're both in the continental climate, but similar conditions, like I already said. So it's not
kind of like a Midwest United States kind of.
So it's good. Good growing conditions. We have rain. This year is amazing. We have so much rain. It's coming basically every 2-3 days. Okay. It's spring, but we are not used to having that reliable rainfall. So
Better than we are right now. We've been kind of in a drought for a few weeks, and it finally did just rain yesterday. So we're coming out of it. Yeah. Well, that's great, man. Well, I'm ready to jump into kind of our topic of management, of homestead management, farm management. Where would you like to start with that? Really, I guess the need for it, I think, would be a good place to start. Why do we need the management? I'm kind of a guy who just gets out there and does things, but there is something to be said about having an order to things, a proper management to things, to really get stuff done.
Okay. So I really admire people like you. So who can, most of my farm management career, I was like that, but I just simply became overwhelmed, not just because of the farm stuff, because I became a father like 5 years ago. And then there were obviously like, I'm pulled to so many directions, and I'm trying to manage so many things on day-to-day basis that I simply had to have some kind of management system for my farm. And the thing is, we are all, you know, motivated and inspired. We watch all the videos and read our blog posts, and then we want to do something, but then we have the standard challenges are that we don't have the time or resources or skills. So it's easy to get overwhelmed, and I get overwhelmed, not daily, but it's easy to get overwhelmed with everything that I need to do. So to keep my sanity, I'm trying to have a farm management system so I can kind of outsource everything to the system that I have for management. And at the end of the day, I don't have to keep all those things in my head. But I would say that there are several, there are different type of people who, as in permaculture design. In permaculture design, you have people who like to design everything into details on a computer, on paper. Every bit of detail is clearly drawn. And you have some people who, they come to the site and they design on the site. They just look at the site and they don't need any plan. So we are all different, but for me, at least, I found that it's much easier to be on top of the things with everything that I want to do, that I'm doing, that I would like to do, if I have some kind of system which would help me then to have a clear view of what I'm doing.
Sure. Yeah, I know for me, it's like I have to kind of compartmentalize things. I have to take this section, focus on it, and kind of get my mind off that big picture for a little bit and kind of focus on one thing at a time. Because when I start thinking about the whole, I do get overwhelmed. It's like, I got to take one thing at a time. I'm just going to deal with that in front of me. Yes, I don't know if that's your way you do it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how I think about it. Because the farm or the homestead, it has all these different systems, okay, that are moving pieces, going in parallel, and they're all connected in some way. But from a management perspective, you kind of look at them separately as different components, and then you can focus on each component and then deal with the moving pieces in that component. So, for example, on a homestead, you could have a garden, you would have an orchard or a food forest, then you would have your soil management system, your energy systems, your plant propagation systems, and they within themselves, they all have different moving pieces than you can then tackle once you focus on them separately in that way.
Yeah. So what's your method for handling that, getting it all together, kind of connecting it all together, but focusing on one thing at a time? You have a system for that?
Okay. Yeah. I call it the trident of getting things done on the property. Okay. And that's essentially comes down to knowing the what, when, and how. So what is the big picture plan or roadmap with phases and steps of what you are doing with that system? We can come a bit later about giving you an example, but then you have the when is the calendar of when the things from that roadmap need to happen. And then you have the how, which is the step-by-step, how you execute the logistics and the practical how to. So, and that's how I approach basically everything. It's what, when, and how. And I have for different systems, I have different roadmaps or plans or whatever you want to call it, plan of execution, where I can prioritize which steps need to happen and in what order. And then I have a calendar for when each of those steps need to happen, and the how to are the guides which I create for myself, but they don't necessarily have to be written by someone. You can, there are a number of guides, including on your website, on how to do something. So it's more like a process is more important. Information is abundant. We have almost too much information. Like the process and the framework and the thinking behind it is what's important when it comes to management.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about the what, are you just really thinking about the end goal? Like this project, what's the end goal? What do I want to accomplish with it? That's what you're thinking of when you think of the what, right?
Yes. Yes. And I can give you an example. So what would be, if we take one system, for example, a food forest. So what would mean your roadmap for the establishment of food forest? Okay. And that, if you want to establish a food forest, eventually once you establish it, you're going to maintain it. So all these steps, all these phases could be outlined in your roadmap. So for example, especially from a permaculture perspective, you will have for each system like that, you would have design phase, and then you have implementation or execution phase, and then you have the maintenance phase. And design would be simply planning. You are planning, for example, if you are planning food forest or an orchard, you would have a planning where you're kind of planning what type of plants you'll be growing, in which layout, and where the site is going to be, and everything when it comes that is related to design. And then you would have, when it comes to implementation, it will be certain phases when you are establishing that project, like a site preparation, what you need to do in site preparation, like site survey, site clearing, what you need to do in the initial soil works, if you're doing some earthworks, for example, swales or something like that. And then if you need then soil conditioning works, if you are improving the soil in some way, for example, with cover crops, and then eventually planting. And once you're done with that, then you have the maintenance, which also has its steps that you would do, for example, within a year or something like that. So that would be your roadmap. You can develop a roadmap for each of the systems you have. It would be different.
Yeah. For me, when I was establishing, I'm still establishing, it's an ongoing thing, my food forest, my soil is pretty good. So I didn't have to do a lot of soil conditioning because the soil here is just really healthy already.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just, okay, I don't really have the money to build this entire thing at once, or the resources or the time of really getting in here and within a year having a whole functioning food forest. So what I did was I focused on the whole first year was just getting 20, 30 of my overstory trees planted.
Yes.
Then I went in and I took one guild at a time and kind of started putting my support plants in and just started moving around around these trees one at a time, two at a time, building my guilds. And it was just a stepping stone and trying to have this ultimate goal of what I'm trying to accomplish. But I knew it had to go in pieces and it was going to take time. But again, I had to follow that roadmap of slowly getting it there because I knew it was overwhelming to try to do it all at once.
Yes. And that's very similar to what I've done. I done exactly what you were saying. Well, first I had some trial and errors. with just skipping all the steps and going to planting and then realizing it's the wrong place and I didn't improve the soil. And then that tree, I have one of those trees I call the control tree, which is just going on its own and it's going really slowly. But that's exactly what I done is I, when it comes to food forest, I mark where my rows are going to be. I done some soil improvement. Then I planted my canopy trees. Once they are in, then next year or 2 years or even 5 years after, I would be gilding the trees, building building the support species, the perennial, herbaceous perennials, because they are easy to establish and it's a different approach. But the big step was planting the canopy trees first. So So that's your framework. You don't have it in written, but that's a framework that's maybe worth of writing about if you didn't already on your
talked about it plenty.
Maybe with the AI can do like a summary of your podcast and put in your step. That's it. Yeah.
We gotta put the machines to work for us before we start working for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I made my fair share of mistakes too, putting in support trees. I planted a few trees that really weren't conducive to my climate and they end up not making it, or they're not doing what you want them to do, or they just take too much maintenance to try to keep them going. And it's like, is that really worth it? I'm trying to build something that takes less work because time management's a big part of this too. I don't want to have to be dedicating my life to just trying to keep things alive. I want them to just live. And so there's a lot of mistakes that you can make there too. So research can definitely be part of the beginning of that planning stage for sure. And finding out what's going to grow well and figuring out what to do. Yeah. It's a good step to do.
I was just listening today to Jeff Lawton and he was saying that in the beginning, like permaculture systems, and when you're trying to do something, they are really information heavy in a sense. You do your research, you do your planning, and then even when you do implementing, it's enormous amount of work in the beginning. But everything that you're doing today is kind of should pay itself later on in a sense of how much work you would be investing. So basically, once you go through that implementation, then maintenance is just like today when I'm going on my farm. When I was planting trees and doing everything, it was really hard and I would put in the hours. But now I know, like in 2 hours, I know what I need to do. And that's part of the yearly maintenance part at a certain part of the year. And I do it and that's it, basically. It's kind of, as the system matures, it's less and less work. And that's the ultimate goal that we want.
Yeah. A lot of that falls into your next phase, though, is the kind of the when, right? Knowing when to do things and the main, well, it's when in the design and also the when in maintaining it and everything. Yes,
So the next is the when from that trident. First was the what, your roadmap, and then when it's all about when you do the tasks from your roadmap, and anything related to farming and homesteading is seasonal and you need to do things at the right time. You don't want to miss the window and then you have to wait for the next year or do something at the wrong time of the year and then you waste your resources. So that's all. When is extremely important in farming. We are really dependent on weather and frost dates and the last planting dates and stuff like that. So when is extremely important.
I do find that in the beginning, the when is way more important than after something gets established and it's running kind of full strength. I take, for example, like fertilizer. In the beginning, you got to really be kind of proactive on feeding your soil and feeding your plants and doing things. But then after your food forest, say, for example, gets established, chop and drop is kind of a year-round thing. You just kind of do it when you're out there and you're doing it. And it's not really so touchy and so particular about when it gets dropped or how it's feeding. It's kind of an ongoing thing. So it's more picky in the beginning for sure.
Yeah. So that's why you kind of, if you can, well, I'm maybe extreme example because I do these things for a living. So I create myself calendars, I do the roadmaps, I create the guides. But as I said, I solve my problems. I scratch my own itch in a sense. For example, when I'm in the same phase where I'm planting perennials, herbaceous perennials, and one of the perennials that is so much talked about is comfrey, the dynamic accumulator that you put in the gills. And I was trying to propagate comfrey by taking root cuttings. And plant propagation is extremely sensitive in a sense of, you know, timing. And there is a field that is really close to where I live, and I would often go there to walk and stuff. And I would see comfrey, and I was thinking, okay, I'm digging this guy out. And I done it in the late summer. And I was digging, I was making root cuttings, and then eventually I went to the farm and I planted the comfrey, and it never grew. And it was all about because I took the root cuttings at the wrong time of the year. Wow. I should have waited at the very last, very, I would say, late fall, because it needs to accumulate, the root needs to accumulate a lot of, it needs to accumulate energy into the root. It needs to store energy into the root. And that's what it does during the summer, so it can re-sprout from the cuttings. And I invested all these hours, and then I got nothing in return. So that's why after that I created, I'm not sure if you have that, maybe you have that book, American Horticultural Society Plant Propagation Book. It's like a Bible for plant propagation.
I don't have that one, but yeah, it'd be a good one to have on my shelf, yeah, for sure.
You have all possible plants that you want to, if you want to propagate, and you just open a page and you just read when, really? And how to do it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I created a calendar based on the recommendations from that book, because certain plant propagation techniques have a certain timing. You do your hardwood cuttings during the winter, okay, so you don't do it in the middle of summer. And you do root cuttings from late fall to early spring. And then I created a calendar based on that. So yeah. One example.
I will say comfrey must be way more forgiving here than it is in your climate, because I think I could pretty much take the root cuttings anytime for my comfrey and they'd probably grow. But I do agree with you on the, like, just this year, I took a lot of cuttings from my elderberry early in the season, and you got to do that at the right time. And just when I ended up rooting a whole bunch of those, and I really expanded the amount of elderberry on my property. And you're right. Things are really particular. Most things are really particular on when you take those things. And
yeah.
That's part of that planning. It all works together. It even falls back to that right in the beginning, your planning. When you're designing that and you're planning out your schedule, when are you going to take these cuttings? When are you going to be able to expand whatever you're doing with those cuttings later? It's all part of that first plan, really.
Yeah. And just to follow up on the food forest example, like if you're doing, for example, establishing your food forest, then you can only plant bare root trees at a certain time of the year during the winter. And then you can do your earthrex only at a certain time of the year, because you want to do it before the spring rains come and when it's warm, so you can plant your cover crops. And also you are applying your foliar fertilizers throughout the growing season and stuff like that. So having a calendar and having that big overview of when things need to happen is really helpful from a farm management perspective, because then you can look at the calendar and you see, okay, so this is what I'm doing right now. I can do it this month and the next month, and then you can plan accordingly.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I think that's really important too. Like I said, you can waste a lot of time I've just jumped in and done things. I jump in and just do things without really planning it out and making the schedules and really thinking it out. And then you find out you wasted a lot of time because things didn't work out and things just didn't happen the way like you wanted them to. And then you go back and you step back and say, okay, now why didn't this work? Oh, I, like you said, with the comfrey, it's like you just did things at the wrong time and you just didn't plan it right. So I think you're right. It's a very important part of it, especially if you want to save money, time, energy. And it's really important.
Yeah. And it's very frustrating if you have to wait for the whole year for something to try again. And you don't have, I know that I read somewhere, you basically get, like, if you get into this farming and homesteading thing early, you get like 40 tries in a life.
No? Yeah, right.
And 40 is, I said a lot. Some people you know, get less. You have 10 tries.
Yeah.
So you want to do this correctly the first time at the right time.
I didn't jump into right until I was 40. So I'm thinking I got 30, 40 years tops of doing this.
So that's 30 tries to, well, let's say that's if you're planting potato, you have 30 tries for a potato to have a good harvest.
I'm running out of tries quickly. I'm going to have to speed this up.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've talked about the first two of your trident there. How about the how? Let's talk about that. Let's get started with it.
Okay. So the how is being efficient, doing things in doing your task, whatever you're doing in a correct way. So you can do a lot of things, a lot of right things, work on a lot of right things in the right order at the right time. And you still do a poor job at it because for example, if I take just planting a tree, you could plant your tree and then bury the graft union, and then you render your rootstock not worthy, or you add fertilizer to the hole and then you actually do worse for your tree because then all the roots are staying within that hole. So, and that's just one example. You can do a lot of things with the enthusiastic and just doing it, and because you read something, you watch something, and you do it wrongly. So it's as important as the other two that I said. So
yeah, I've seen there's a lot of folks out here doing YouTube videos and stuff, and they're throwing stuff out there that because they've just learned how to do it, so they do a video on it.
Yeah.
They're not really experienced if it worked well or not.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm guilty of it too. I've talked about things on my podcast because I seen a video on it. I was like, hey, I seen this. And I don't say that I've done it, but I say, well, that looks like a pretty good idea. Well, then come to find out I tried it. And then it's like, okay, I got to come back now and say, well, you might not want to do that because it didn't work for me. And I've had that happen. And you're right. It's part of that how. It's like you may or may not do it the right way. So it's really nice if you can put in the research and learn and try to be a little more efficient on that and do it, not waste one of them 40 tries you got.
Yeah. And I wouldn't like to be looked at as I'm so organized. I'm very disorganized a lot of times. And if you would come to my home, you would see that there are a lot of things that I'm not tending to because I have to prioritize.
Yeah.
So, but I would say that for certain things that are important to me, I do create like workflows and protocols. And I'm not sure in what industry that is, but standard operating procedures are really kind of important to me in a sense that, okay, I know what I need to do in what order. And especially, I know this maybe doesn't apply to homesteading that much, but time motion studies, like Joe Salatin says, you want to know kind of what amount of time a task will take you so you can plan. For example, when I'm going to my farm, I already know because I track so many times how much does it take me to, for example, mow the grass between the rows and put that as a sheet mulch on my plants. So I know if I'm going there, if I have like 6 hours in a day, I can 4 hours will be just that, and I have 2 hours for something else.
I think it does apply to homesteaders really well. And I'll tell you why, because when you're a full-time farmer or full-time market gardener, that's your job. It's all day long, every day. But when you're a homesteader, you might be working a 40 or 50 or 60 hour a week job.
Yes.
And then time management and resource management becomes really important because I've only got a few hours a week to do this. And I think it has a big impact on the homesteader just as much so as a farmer or a market gardener. I really do.
Well, I don't know about you, but I spend like, because I have an online business and I do teaching consulting with my permaculture apprentice, I would say that on average, I work 5 hours on my computer, online stuff. And then the rest of the day is doing stuff outside, in the garden, in the food forest, everything else. But sometimes I would have like only 1 hour or 2 hours a day, despite this being me like a job that I do, like the farming and homesteading and permaculture and stuff like that. But still I find myself, okay, I have 1 hour, what do I need to do? Okay, and it's easy to put things on your task manager. Okay, I need to, for example, today, my task before this interview was to plant spinach, to sow spinach, to do some module sowing, to harvest radish. So I have those three tasks, but the most important part is that you kind of have the big picture view of that's kind of for today. But what's happening in a week's time. Okay, so what's happening? We are almost mid-year. So mid-year means that you are kind of that you are now sowing your crops for fall. Okay, so and if you want a succession garden, a plant next crop, then you need to already to have things in the modules waiting to be transplanted. So it takes a little bit planning in advance if you want to stay on top of the things.
Even the way I grow lettuce, like I have like a lettuce bed and then I'll have, I have like a few rows of lettuce. And then I, what I do is I like every 2 weeks, I plant another row and pick and then plant. And so you're just in this constant rotation and you have to plan that out. You have to have seed. You have to be ready to go. I even have another bed where I lettuce actually go to seed so I can harvest those seeds. So I always have this like, just this endless amount of lettuce seed, but I can just keep this. And it's a small bed. We're talking a 4x8 bed, but I have lettuce constantly in it because I just harvest a row here, row there, plant a row. And it's just this constant flow, but you have to plan that out. If you don't take the time to do that, harvest that, plant it every couple of weeks, you're not going to have lettuce. It's just
I can't tell you the number of times I was like, okay, I harvested this and what am I going to fall with? And I don't have nothing. No, I don't have nothing ready. So,
You're right. Having a step-by-step plan or some kind of workflow or something written out could really help with that. Because I have forgotten. I mean, because I don't write things down all the time or I don't keep a spreadsheet necessarily. And then I forget, okay, did I plant that? I don't think I planted anything last week. It happens. So what, you're big on using guides and step-by-step plans. What kind of tools do you use to put these together?
In the beginning, I was mostly, it was mostly the regular tools that you would use, like spreadsheets, especially Google Docs.
Yeah, like
Google. And I had Evernote to collect all the kind of articles and write my notes. Like Evernote, I was big on Evernote because I would have different notes for different systems and different things I was doing. And I would, when I would come on some useful article like yours or something else, I would just click to save and it would be already, I would save it in notebook later on. And I done it many times. I would be outside working on something and then I would be, okay, so how do I do this? And then I would go to my notebook and then I would read. But eventually I did create more structured guides with the links and everything for myself and then for my students as well. And I did move to maybe more sophisticated tools. Like everyone probably knows task managers, like Todoist or Todo or whatever. I'm not sure if you're using any, but you know, simple writing on a whiteboard, what you need to do today or tomorrow or this week, that's your task manager. Okay. But then you have like a level up would be a project manager. Project manager would be tools like ClickUp or Asana or Notion. I do use Notion. I use Notion for everything. Notion is my project manager, task manager, notebook, and it does have a calendar, but I use calendar independently from that. Yeah. But most of my what, like my roadmaps and when, like calendars are made with spreadsheets. And then I manage my projects in Notion I'm going to prepare and they'll be able to access it on my website, permaculturepractice.com/herald. I'll prepare a PDF where with all the tools for the property management that I recommend, project managers, task managers, notebooks, and calendars. But the big picture would be that if you want, and if you are inclined to do planning, you can use project manager, which will help you to have a big overview of all the projects that you have going around the farm. And the big thing is to organize your projects like on hold, ready to do, and in progress. Probably in progress is going to be like, it's not like all projects are equally important or you are doing it. You have some ideas. Ideas usually go to on hold. Then you have some things that are ready to do, but you're not doing them right away. And you have things that are in progress. So that's kind of one simple way to organize your projects. And then when it comes to, and each of that project will have certain tasks that you are doing. For example, a project would be for me that I am doing June planting. That would be project. And the subtask or task within that project would be that I am module sowing certain plants at a time, transplanting at a time, planting. And you do that on a basis, on a typical task manager basis, what you're doing today, what you're doing tomorrow, what you're doing this week. And then also you have the calendar, which is, I live in by my calendar. Everything is in my calendar. I look at the calendar at every day. I look at what's happening that day, how I have my day organized. This mostly for, let's say, reminders and certain events, one-off events. And then there is a notebook where you collect. So for people who are not creating their own guides, I would say that having a place where they can save, capture those, because on a daily basis, we get bombarded with so many information. And information, I don't know how to say, there is some saying that if it was only about information, then everybody would be rich and walk with like a bodybuilder body, because we would be all healthy and strong. If it is only to information, it's not about information. It's more like taking action. And you can only take action if you can easily access the information. And for that, I recommend that you have a certain specific place where you put all things that you find interesting, and so you can easily access them later. And basically that's it. That's how you capture, you organize the information that you collected, and then you access it when you need it.
Well, I love that you're offering that stuff. I find there's different kinds of people. There's some that just can't get away from a pencil and paper, and I think it's fine. If it works for them, it helps them take action, I think it's great. I'm kind of a tech guy. I like online spreadsheets and documents.
Yes.
And I like to use tools like that. It's just who I am. My phone, I've got like a notepad on there. When I'm doing like projects, if I have a project, say I'm planning this spring or in the summertime, I will go ahead and put a doc together, and then I will start, and it's for that project. And then I'll start listing out materials that project's going to take. Say I'm going to build something. I'll go ahead and start putting down my material list, and I'll start looking for those materials on sale or even used or whatever, so I don't have to spend so much money until I get to that project time. And it's just little things I do like that, but I use online documents for things like that. And it always keeps in my mind what I need and what I need to be looking out for, and then a time to do it. So I just love using online tools. And I love it that you got some spreadsheets and some tools for folks that they could jump in there.
I'll make a list. With what I recommend and what I've used, with a summary and how to use it, and then they can see, because even for me, I wasn't aware of all the tools, and I'm rather tech savvy. I enjoy this stuff, and then I would be, I really didn't know that all these tools exist, and you can use them. So, and they made my life definitely much more productive, and I have more time for my family, and I do more stuff, and I can outsource my thinking to certain tools.
Yeah. I do find, though, I'm such a techie when it comes to stuff like that. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in tools that I spend a little too much time checking out new tools when the ones I've been using for a long time work just fine.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can do that in a simple notebook with pen and paper, or whiteboard, or whatever.
And I've always loved the idea of journaling and keeping track of everything in a nice little book and just kind of keeping track of everything. I'm just, every time I start it, I fail at it. I just get to where it isn't as convenient for me as grabbing my phone or a computer and doing it for me.
Yeah.
I know not everybody's like that, but for folks who are like that, you got some great tools there for folks to use. Now, you got, like I wanted to mention, your website is phenomenal. You got some great stuff there. You teach a lot of things. Now, you offer some courses, right?
Yes. Well, I try to, over the years, cover the whole permaculture journey, or in permaculture journey it can be, or farming or homesteading. It doesn't matter. But with my courses and the materials that I produce, the resources that I have, they cover the whole journey from finding land to then designing that land, and then to implementing.
Yeah.
So, and that's how I have the content on my website, which is free. And that's how I have my courses on finding land, on designing the farm, and then implementing your design or establishing the property. So that's how basically I cover. And I say that all the tools that I have for my students, I use them. And I created them, as I said, scratching my own itch.
Yeah.
Because with the resources that I offer, people can do things on their own. It's like, I'm not sure if there is like a lot of courses are a lot of like video information, video lessons, and but the courses I'm creating, they are more heavy on giving you, as you can see, like exact templates, plug and play resources and stuff like that. That's what I'm like. If I'm about one thing, it would be like practical things that you can use.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Eventually, as the technology progresses, I would like it to be like a tool that you would take everywhere with you. For example, I do when I'm on outside on the side doing something, I would take my phone, and on my phone, I would have the guides and everything and ready and sheets and everything. So I kind of create a system to be extremely practical in that sense.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage folks to sign up for your newsletter, because I did a few weeks ago, and you give a ton of information in your newsletter. You show some real examples in there too, on like permaculture design, designing the land, laying out the land. And you put some really practical, useful things right in that newsletter, which I thought was really neat. You do a good job of that. So
thank you.
You got some great stuff going out there. So yeah, folks need to check out your website. They need to go check out these this page you're putting together. It's got these documents on it for them to use, these tools that they can use for kind of time management and project management. Yes, and they need to sign up for your newsletter, because like I said, it's useful for sure. Thanks. Yeah. But yeah, anything else you'd want to leave folks with as far as encouraging them as in project or time management or any of these things?
Well, at least for me, two important things are, well, at least when it comes to my own progress in life, would be managing expectations, in a sense that it's always, we have big goals, expectations, things that we want to do. And if you're kind of hard on yourself because you're not fulfilling something that you wanted, then what's the point in trying to pursue that lifestyle if you are, you know, not happy? The point is to enjoy your life. So managing expectations would be really important. Yeah. And the second one would be not to compare yourself with others.
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure where I read it. Maybe it was Jordan Peterson who said that the only person you should compare yourself is the person you were yesterday or something like that. Because it's easily,
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easily, at least for me, I would look all those, you know, permaculture influencers or whatever you call them, Richard Perkins or Curtis Stone. I'm not sure you know about Curtis Stone, the off-grid farmer. And then I would be, oh my God, he achieved so much in 1 year. And I need 5 years to do as much as he. But most important thing is that I get into that negative habit of doing that.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is to look at what I have done through these my 5 years and what progress I've made, and then manage my expectation not to be in some negative mindset that I'm not doing enough, because I should enjoy everything that I created thus so far, and the tools that I'm recommending and the things that I have here should only serve to fulfill that purpose, to enjoy your homesteading journey.
Yeah, that's a good word. I agree with you that overwhelm can definitely happen and definitely get burned out if you don't manage those expectations. I also have a fine line there though. It's like, I want fairly big expectations because it feeds my passion and it gives me something to shoot for. But if you go too big, that's just completely unreachable, and it's going to be, you can burn yourself out. But I do like to set myself some pretty lofty goals,
of course,
what I want to accomplish, because it feeds my passion. It keeps me really hungry to see it happen. And so I like that too. So there's a middle ground there for sure.
Yeah. That's a vision. And I was thinking more like, we all have big visions, but managing expectation on if you can do it this year or no.
There you go.
Probably in that sense, because things usually take time. I think Bill Gates said, you overestimate what you can do within 1 year, and then underestimate what you can do in 10 or something like that.
Something like that. I've heard it too.
Something like that. So in 1 year, you could be, I didn't achieve enough. And then when you look at 10 years looking backwards, and then you see I did so many things. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. You can do it with a small piece of property, a large piece of property. I think my co-host, she just yes. interviewed Justin Rhodes, and yes. it just came out today, and they were recording this, and he had said something in there about consistency. That she was asking him, how do you get so much done? Mm-hmm. And his response was hard work and working on the days when maybe most people would just take that day off and just staying at
showing up
and doing it every day. And if you're just doing that and you keep pushing forward, even if you don't get as much done today as you wanted to get done, you're taking steps, you're making yes. things happen. And I try to remember that sometimes, because sometimes it feels like I'm not getting as much done as I would like to also. Yeah. And I just do a few things, do something, just something today that will make a better tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you just keep doing that, you're going to go far. You really are. Yeah. You're going to accomplish a lot over time.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually have it's not a rule, but I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it's some kind of mental framework where within a day I'm kind of doing maintenance, but maintenance is keeping me at the same level. And then it has to be something with the install, like install something new. And yeah. it doesn't have to be something big, but it's kind of the progress. That day, for example, I planted my spinach today. So I didn't do much, but that's progress.
Yeah.
And I maintained certain things. So I done something.
Yeah. And I think that's important. It's all we can really do. And if you try to do too much, like you said a few times, overwhelm is real and it can get a hold of you. And when if that does happen, just step back. Take notice of what you've accomplished, but go slower from there on out. I think that's a good way to look at it. But yeah, get you a schedule, get the tools to, plan and start considering your trident there, the what, when, and how, and put that together. And I think you can accomplish big things and you can reach some dreams maybe that didn't seem reachable in the past.
Yeah.
And you just keep going forward. I think that's a good word. So, well, I sure do appreciate you coming on, William. I think you've had a lot to offer, and I hope folks will definitely check out your stuff, because I know I've really enjoyed checking it out, and you got a lot going on, man. You're a busy guy, I can tell. So you need these kind of schedules to keep you going, because you got a lot going on. It looks like you're accomplishing more online than I can even hardly imagine. And I do quite a bit. So
thank you. You're
doing good. So I appreciate you coming on.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Harold.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I wanna flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, raising livestock, living free. It's a modern build a modern homestead. A lot of folks don't understand why I wanna live this way. They've never eaten from their land like we do here every day. Snapping beans like grandma did, sitting on her front porch. Hunting and fishing like a kid, once you've done all of your chores. It's a modern homestead. Build a modern homestead. Country or city, there's a way to make this change. You gotta start today. It's a